Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today we're talking Secret Invasion, Episode 2. Lots of twists and turns and weird things, I guess, going on. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on some questions that I wrote down that I have not yet researched, so maybe I should do that too. But I also kind of feel like this series is taking stuff from the comics and doing it in a different way, so I feel like my research wouldn't be worth it.
Wonderful.
First thoughts for this new episode. I'm really enjoying it. I feel like they are doing that thing where they don't want to include the Avengers, so they're just saying outright in the episode, like, we're not including them, which is fine. I mean, at least they're acknowledging, right, that, like, we understand that they could probably solve this problem, but here's why we're not including them. And they have, like, a relatively real reason. So, I don't know. I like that. But it's also, like, you keep giving us Rhodey, but not as War Machine. Give me something.
Yeah. It's part of the problem, you think, that we simply do not know who the Avengers are anymore?
I mean, yes, that's true. So many of them are like, I'm not re-signing my contract. So we're like, okay, well, who's taking your place? I guess maybe that's, you know, Thunderbolts will maybe alleviate some
of that. Yeah, maybe. They're like, we got the Thunderbolts. We've got all these kids. We might have mutants, ?
It's interesting that we haven't seen more stuff binding the new, like, the younger Avengers together. I feel like they did a lot with, like, the early seasons, really pushing Contessa, what's her name, showing up in at the end of every season.
Oh, yeah. Val.
Recruiting people. Yeah. And then we kind of don't see her anymore. I mean, we saw her in Wakanda Forever, but that was it. So like they stopped bothering to tie those things together, even though we all know that that's like the future of the MCU, because none of these other people are going to come back and do stuff other than maybe cameos.
Well, it's like she's putting together a team sometime, eventually, we think.
Yeah. All right, well, how about you? First thoughts on
So far, just the show in general, I've thought it's like it's very like slickly produced, and it feels like it's a little bit darker, perhaps a different genre than we've seen Marvel do at this point. They haven't done anything so far that's been like strictly a suspense thriller, and especially not one that is like so political. We got a little bit of that in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Like I put in my notes, like I'm getting some Flag Smashers vibes here a little bit.
Yes.
And so I have appreciated that. This feels like it is a well-crafted show. But at the same time, I'm kind of panicking because I'm like, there's only 6 episodes of this. How are they going to resolve this? And I suspect that they are not. I think that this is an extended setup for Secret Wars, which is fine if frustrating.
Yes, I agree. I think it's funny that you say the Flag Smashers thing, because I also have that in my notes. I wrote down, are the Flag Smashers still around? Because I also getting that. It's weird because I feel like this series would have been great if it, I mean, it's still great. I'm enjoying it. But if it had come out before the next phase, and then the next phase was Secret Invasion, Secret Wars phase, and that was like tied into everything, it seems like a weird thing to pull out of the air in the midst of the Kang Dynasty phase where it seems like all the movies are going to be focused around Kang stuff, but now the series are all going to be focused around Secret Wars. Like, how does that tie, how do those two things tie together? And then Thunderbolts is also kind of like more of like an introduction thing to these characters, to the MCU. So like, how does that fit in with all this stuff?
We're just throwing everything into a great big multiversal gumbo and hoping that it turns out.
Yes. So I guess I'll save my question for a little bit later, but to kind of jump into some of the things that we see a de-aged Nick Fury, mm-hmm. which I thought looked really good.
Yeah, it did.
I think they really nailed that in these. I don't think it looks weird or fake or generated.
I think it helps that they are olding him so hard in the rest of the show.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And maybe that was their plan, is they're like, we're just going to make him look really rough. So when we make him look young, it's not that difficult. But I thought that looked pretty good. We get some more of Gravik's backstory, like where he came from, how he became who he is. Although I feel like we didn't really understand, like, it seems like a lot of his problems with Fury stem from a misunderstanding. Like, Fury didn't really do anything to him, right? Like, he promised, hey, you help us, we'll help you. And from what we gather, they've been trying. Like, Carol Danvers is out there looking, but it just hasn't happened yet. And he has taken that to mean, oh, so you're not going to do what you said you're going to do, so now we're going to just take over.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like Gravik and the other, like, I guess this rebellion thing that's happening is mostly like the younger Skrulls, but they feel like they've spent their whole lives waiting on a promise to be fulfilled that hasn't been. And so it feels like they're either only seeing things in black and white, we were supposed to get this thing and we didn't, or that they feel like they're not a priority whenever they should
be. I get, but I also agree that, like, they sure do make it sound like they've spent years and years and years and years, and like they're old people now, mm-hmm. and they still haven't had this thing passed. But from what we can understand, like, they don't age the same as we yeah. do, and so they live for like hundreds of years. So in reality, 40 years or 30 years that have gone by mm-hmm. is like a not that long in, you know, compared to their lifespan. Mm-hmm. So, like, they just calm down.
Yeah, they certainly should calm down. Because if you look at the way that they've lived for all those years, it seems to have been fairly comfortably on Earth. Like, without persecution, yeah. because nobody even knows that they're aliens. They're just kind of chilling yeah. as people.
And they've been able to assimilate pretty well, because as we see in this, they've taken a lot of places of power.
Yes. I think possibly my favorite, like, aspect of this show so far has been how it's playing off of so many ridiculous conspiracy theories. Like, mm-hmm. especially, yeah. most notably, and I don't know if this was in the comics or not because I haven't read them, but, like, the theory that reptile people are the ones running the world.
Yeah. And they keep saying mm-hmm. it too, like lizard
people.
Man or lizard brain or whatever.
Yes.
So this kind of goes into, so we'll get into my question here. I want to know how Skrulls work. Like, we know that they can change into people, mm-hmm. and seemingly they can change their clothing too. I don't. So, like, are they always naked, or I don't really know how that works. But that aside, we know that they can take your form and your memories, and it doesn't kill you.
They just don't want you out ruining the illusion.
Exactly. So, are we supposed to think that every Skrull that has a face, like a human skin or whatever, mm-hmm. stole it from somebody? And then if so, we also saw that they can change between multiple. Mm-hmm. Like, one person can have multiple. But then, is it only people? Can they change into other alien races or an animal or something like that? We also, in this, we get a mention of the reason that they don't want the Avengers around is because if a Skrull took over an Avenger, then they would get their powers, which is something that, you know, that's comic accurate. But they don't really explain how that works. Like, I think of it almost like Mystique, right? Mm-hmm. Like when she changes into Wolverine in the X-Men movie, her claws scratch things, but they're not adamantium, so he's able to cut them, and it hurts her. So, like, if a Skrull became Wolverine, is that the same thing? Or is it not? I hope that that stuff gets explained, because it's all very confusing, and it also leans into that, like, it's almost too convenient. Like, they just don't want to explain it, but they want them to seem terrible. So, like, yeah, they just get your powers and no weaknesses.
Yeah, it seems like to me that they don't have to take a specific person's face, that they can just kind of come up with one. Especially because we have that scene where Nick Fury is talking to them back in the 90s and giving them this chance to help them in exchange for eventually getting, like, a home world and all that sort of stuff. And they change instantly. And it's, these people have kind of just gotten there, so I don't think that they would have time to go out and, like, pick a face and be like, yes, this is the one that I want. And also, they haven't detained any of those humans, so, like, there'd be two of them running around, which would be confusing. So I think they can take specific people, but they don't have to. They can just kind of, like, pick a mask for themselves and stick with it. And I would imagine,
like, ears from one person, nose from another.
They're just, like, flipping through a magazine and being like, I like that nose. I will take that. And I would assume that this is some sort of evolutionary adaptation that Skrulls have, and it would be extremely unuseful if the only thing they could imitate was one other specific species. So yeah. I would think that they could take, like, a huge number of biological forms, like, including other kinds of aliens, animals, all that. We have not seen that, but that would be my assumption. And if the nature of their transformation is something like atomic or molecular, then they could even be able to transform into different fabrics and things like that, which would explain why they could, you know, suddenly be wearing, you know, super fresh outfits that they also saw in a magazine.
Yeah, well, that's what I was confused too, is, like, can they just do that? Like, what if they don't want to change their face? Can they just, like, change their outfit? But then I was thinking about things like Vision. Okay, so if, like, one of them sees Vision, is, are they able to turn into this mechanical being?
Probably.
Or, like, an Ultron robot? Could they transform into that? Or
if they can make clothes, then they can probably make Ultrons.
But then if they could do that, could they, like, could he be like, you know what, I'm going to turn into a table to hide in this room?
They could also have some kind of special technology that exists with their clothes to where they can change the way that their clothes look with a thought. Because we haven't seen, like, a buck naked Skrull transforming. <That's true. laughs> So it could just be a technological advantage that they have, because we've always seen them showing up being rescued with clothing already on, and it could be their stuff that just changes and adapts to them.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Well, speaking of clothing that changes, one thing that we saw in this episode was a lab where they're clearly trying to do something to make Skrulls stronger. Mm-hmm. I think that this is leading us to them trying to create Super Skrulls, which in the comics, Super Skrulls have four, you know, they have one arm that's really stretchy, one arm that's a rock, one leg that's on fire, and one leg that's invisible, and they're supposed to be, they have all the powers of the Fantastic
Four. Yeah, I was going to say, that's Fantastic Four.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm wondering if we're going to get a Super Skrull in this, and if we do, if we're going to see Fantastic Four powers in this series before we ever even see the Fantastic Four.
Oh, goodness.
It would be very strange. Because it'd be like, well, how do they know about those powers? Unless they're like, they're cosmic, and everyone and all the aliens know about the cosmic, the four cosmic powers that are out there.
Yeah.
I don't know, but, like, seems kind of weird.
And someone is living in Avengers Tower. We know that. Something's up there. It could be the Fantastic Four. It could be the Fantastic Four before they get their powers. We don't know. We have nothing.
Yeah. So yeah, that's another question. Is like, when we get Fantastic Four, are they going to be pre-powered Fantastic Four? I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. I get it. It's like a thing in Skrull stuff, Super Skrull. Mm-hmm. But it just seems strange that we're including that in here when, like, I think historically you think of the Super Skrull, you think of Super Skrull, like the guy that fights the Fantastic Four with their own power. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. We do get Rhodey.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up to sort of help clean up this mess, even though we learn that the mess was made by the Skrulls, and the Skrulls are the ones that are there in the meeting, sort of pushing the mess along. He mentions a couple times, you know, that he still has the suit. He can use the suit. He talks about carpet bombing other countries, which seems like, oh, don't say that.
Yeah.
But also, I want to know, do you think that he has a nano suit? Or do you think that, like, he has the War Machine suit and that's it? And Tony Stark never worked on any other suits for him. He only has that one.
I would not be surprised if he had a nano suit. My biggest concern with Rhodey right now is I think he might be a Skrull.
I mean,
he's acting weird.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. And then whenever Fury's asking him about, like, how well do you know your security detail, and he, like, makes a funny joke, and then he's like, why? And then they never really conclude that scene. If it almost felt like that scene happened, and then that scene ends, and then they go on to something completely different, and they never talk about it again.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, weird.
It feels weird that this is even the kind of job that Rhodey would take after all of his Avengering. Unless, of course, he's been Skrulled, and a Skrull is just trying to get into a position of authority in the government as Rhodey. His whole vibe is off. And, of course, mm-hmm. not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but when he fires Nick at the end, that felt... I think the real Rhodey would be more regretful if he, in fact, had to fire Nick Fury. But a Skrully one may not...
And also, can he really fire Nick Fury? Because isn't the whole point of S.H.I.E.L.D. that they're, like, sort of... I mean, sort of they work for America, but mm-hmm. also not really. They're not, like, a government agency.
Yeah, and...
kind of their own agency.
And how powerful is S.H.I.E.L.D. right now? After everything that's happened...
S.H.I.E.L.D. collapse?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was like, is there still a S.H.I.E.L.D.? Is he the director of anything? I know that we've got S.W.O.R.D. and all these other things happening now. So, like... Mm. What even is S.H.I.E.L.D.? Who was Agent Hill working for?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Although it does kind of make me cross my fingers and hope that we might get Agent Coulson back in the main in the main storyline.
Find out he was just in Tahiti the whole time.
Just in Tahiti.
We did get a foolproof way to figure out if someone was a Skrull in this. And it seems like something that, like, they should just do to everyone from now on, just to make sure.
But don't make us watch it.
Yeah, all you gotta do is cut off a little piece of their finger.
Yeah.
And you'll find out.
Just the whole finger.
And I wonder if it's, like, does it have to be a finger? Could they take, like...
a toe.
Just, like, a skin sample, and the skin sample would change back or something?
It did feel very sadistic. Yeah. And Olivia Coleman's character in this, like, it's so funny how she's such a, like, you know, perky, cozy kind of English lady, but also is a bona fide psychopath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even when she, like, gets down in the hole to, like, crawl out of there, mm-hmm. she's like, oh, this is nice. And she's crawling with her purse through there with her hedge trimmer shears or whatever.
Yeah, she might be my favorite part of the show so far.
I'm interested to see where that goes and what her role is going to be. Whenever they come and they rescue the Skrull and they get him in the car and they find out that he maybe told them about some stuff, take him into the woods and they shoot him and mm-hmm. leave him in the woods. I was like, okay, whatever. This all makes sense, I guess, from like a weird Skrull mafia standpoint. what doesn't make sense is that they're trying to hide their existence, right?
Which, yes.
That's the whole point. And then they just shoot him and leave him in the woods. For anyone to, and not that far off the road. I mean, they were like maybe 20 feet away from the road.
Yeah.
Anybody could drive out there and see that and be like, oh my God, an alien.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like the kind of 3D chess movie you would expect from the newly appointed general of the Skrulls.
Right.
It's very poor planning.
And with how much, I assume, blood was left behind, we never really knew what happened to the finger.
Yeah, I guess you just chucked it out the window.
Yeah, was that still there? So, like, whenever that crime scene gets looked over, wouldn't they run blood tests on all the blood? And wouldn't that show that, like, oh, this isn't human?
It might. We don't know.
There seems to be a lot of loopholes with the, we're trying to stay hidden. Seems like they're leaving behind quite the trail.
Yes. I mean, and granted, it feels like they're starting to not care if people know that they're there because they just want to wipe people out and take the planet. So they're like, it's not a priority to live in secret anymore. And for all we know, there's a special element of Skrull biology that means that they, like, decompose really quickly and they'll never find any remains.
That's true, yeah.
We simply do not have any idea because we don't have that Marvel Anatomy book that might have that might have Skrull anatomy information in it.
They immediately turn into water and evaporate.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just so many questions I have with how these powers work. Which, like, I'm sure that they'll explain some of it, but also leave some of it up to, it just does.
Wait, I'm having a memory. Didn't a Skrull get killed in the first episode?
Yes.
Didn't he kind of?
No, he just died, and then.
Okay. I thought, yeah. I had a weird memory of him kind of poofing.
No. Yeah, that's right. He got shot, and then he fell on the ground, and then they were like, "Woof, good thing you saved me." And then next scene, and they never explained, did they dispose of the body? Did they just leave it in that room? What happened to it? How do they explain that that guy disappeared? Like, I don't know. It is interesting. And then, like, I guess whenever they rescue all of these people, are they going to rescue the people? They don't really explain how the pods work that the Skrulls have, like, that keep people there. Are they just, they just hold people, or is there a purpose to them? I don't know. There's too many questions for there to be only four more episodes.
Yeah, and I am kind of confused about why they would keep the people alive if they're stealing their identities. I mean, maybe at first they were like, you know, we're just trying to do our thing. We're not here to, you know, annihilate humanity or anything yet. But now they are here to annihilate humanity. So, like, why are they, you know, keeping these little people fishbowls around?
Yeah, especially if they were in a place where, we do learn in this episode that there's a million of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or we learn that there's a million of them, but we also learn that there may not be a million here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because he mentions, like, there's a million of them left. And mm-hmm. he reached out to the ones that he could to come to Earth. So it doesn't mean there's a million on Earth. But it could. Yeah. So it's interesting that they, like, have this place where they can all hang out together, which seems to be, like, the leftovers of Chernobyl. But, like, if they're there, just be there. Like, I don't understand why you need to... Because I assume that if they are in these places of power, they didn't, like, take on a form and work their way into that place of power. It would seem a little bit more like maybe they found someone in a place of power and kidnapped them and took their form and are now in that place of power themselves. But I don't know. They don't explain that. Some of these people have been around for 30 years, 40 years.
Yeah, they might have just coordinated and worked their way up the ladder and each kind of helped each other get to where they're supposed to be getting.
Yeah. So it's interesting. As we learn more and learn... we learn who are actually Skrulls, it sure does make you think a whole bunch of other people could be Skrulls. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if we're going to get any actual heroes in this. It's interesting that Maria is gone. I definitely thought that, like, okay, the episode's going to start and she's going to start to change and it's going to be like she was a Skrull. Or maybe, you know, we thought she died, but then it was like, oh, thank gosh, I was wearing a bulletproof vest. I survived or something. But it was like, nah, they killed her.
It seems like she is dead.
Yeah, so that was harsh. I don't know if, like, that's it. Like, Rhodey is just the reoccurring character. Maybe we're going to get somebody cool. Like, I saw a air quotes, cast list for Thunderbolts, and one of the characters listed was Amadeus Cho, who is the Incredible Hulk or Amazing Hulk or whatever, like the new Hulk. I don't know if maybe they're saving him for Thunderbolts since they already think that Harrison Ford's going to be Red Hulk.
Which Harrison Ford seems to be unaware of.
Yeah, yeah. Other than that one picture where he had slightly ripped pants, which I was like, I don't know. That's for another time. But maybe we'll get a character like that in this. I just don't see them bringing in any, like, mainstream MCU characters. But at the same time, it would make sense. But it also seems like this is all based on Fury and what he's seeing and doing. And, like, nobody believes him. Everyone thinks he's crazy. And it's like, I get it. But also, you never know if the person you're talking to is a person or a Skrull. So
maybe that we're is all frustrating.
Crazy. I mean, if this season or this series ends with us finding out that Fury was a Skrull the whole time, like, oh, what are we doing? The last big thing that I have is the end of the episode. We see a Skrull who we saw at the beginning of the episode, and she's cooking dinner. And then we see Fury pull up to the house and just walk into the house. And my first thought was, oh, does he live here? Or did he break in? And then we find out, oh, he's married. And he's married to the Skrull, who she changes her form before he walks in. I don't know if she did that out of, like, she didn't know if it was him or not, so she did it just to be safe. I assume he knows she's a Skrull.
Yeah, I was like, I did have a moment at first where I was like, oh, that's sweet, he's married to a Skrull. But then I was like, wait a second, what if a Skrull just took his wife?
Yeah, yeah. I was very confused. Like, does he know? Does he not know? Again, we saw this Skrull earlier. She was the one that he was speaking with. When we saw the, like, de-aged Fury, she's the one that, like, introduced him to Gravit, and like, she was like, this is Fury, he's here to help us. So it was like, it would make sense that he knows who she is, and they are married, and it's whatever.
And she's a Skrull.
Right. But the fact that she changed forms before he saw her makes it a little suspect of, like, hold on, does he know?
Yeah. And also, like, Nick Fury is married?
Yeah, yeah.
When did he have time to get married and maintain a stable relationship in the last 30 years?
Yeah.
How?
And that nice house.
Super nice house. Super domestic. Yeah. Lovely. This is like when we found out that Hawkeye was married and, you know, had a blissful home life with his wife and 7 million children.
Yeah, it was interesting. I'm hopeful that gets answered in the next episode, because it's not like, I guess it's not like a huge plot point that needs to be answered, but it is it is a question that would be nice to have some sort of clarity.
Yeah. I want to get the full story. Like, did Nick Fury just start working with the Skrulls and settle down with a nice Skrull gal? That would be sweet.
Yeah. And if so, then, like, why would he be upset if the Skrulls wanted to move to Earth? You know? I don't know. I guess we'll find
out. Does he imagine that his wife is going to be like, oh, we have a new planet?
Yes.
Peace out.
I'm leaving. Yeah. And does he have any kids?
Do they have kids?
I don't know.
Can squirrels make human babies? I don't know.
That's a question. I mean, maybe it will be answered. Maybe it won't.
Who knows? Although, like, while I think that Nick Fury would be a great dad, I also think that maybe he wouldn't want to be because there's simply too much going on.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't be around a lot.
Yeah.
And also when he was up on the space station, did she go up to the space station with him?
Or is she just like, I'm going to stay here and keep house while you're in space?
Yeah, enjoy your spacecation.
That would not fly in this house. If Mason Kinswater decided to go to space and leave me here, I'd be very upset.
Also, they like keep mentioning his time in space. Mm-hmm. Like he got too overwhelmed, had a little mental break and went to space. And now he's back. But then that's the other suspect side of this. Is he mm-hmm. back? Because in the trailers for the Marvels, he's not back. He is on the space station. Does the Marvels take place?
Of course, that might take place first.
Yeah, but that's confusing.
It is. It's quite confusing. But it could be that the Marvels winds up taking place before Secret Invasion. Or maybe at the end of this, he's just like, this was extremely stressful. I'm going back to space.
What if at the end of this, it's just Loki in a different timeline? And that's... Da-da-da. Yeah. And then Miss Minutes pops up and then the season ends.
Yes, put Loki in all the things.
This is just a trailer for the next season of Loki. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens next. I'm excited to continue the story. I feel like we have some compelling characters. I feel like we have a kind of lackluster villain right now. I mean, it all just seems kind of like you can expect what his next move is. I feel like there's nothing really like stand out about him. And then even the whole storyline with him and what's the daughter's name?
Gaia.
Yeah, Gaia. That whole storyline.
Which is spelled weird.
Yeah. That whole storyline is like, from the moment they introduced her character and they introduced what was going on, you were like, I know exactly how this is going to play out. She's going to fall for this guy. He's going to turn out to be a bad guy. She's going to help him. She's going to realize he's a bad guy. And then she's going to try to help Fury.
Yeah.
And that, so far, that's exactly what's going on. So,
although it seems like so far she already is probably into Gravik because he picked a good face.
Yeah.
And so now she's his, you know, nice little soldier doing what he wants to do. Yeah. And she's letting herself be angry and not really processing the trauma from hearing that she's lost her mom.
Yeah. I think the turning point is going to be the other guy, like Gravik's second in command, who already kind of is like, I don't really want to do this. I don't think what you're doing is good. And then he's the one that was like speaking to the scientist and she was like, what did you say? I know you didn't say what I think you said. And he was like, no, like, yay, our leader, whatever. That guy's going to die, like 100%, right? Gravit's going to kill him. And then she's going to be like, uh-oh, I picked the wrong side.
Uh-oh. You got to make sure you're on the right side before you pick a revolution.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm excited. There's lots of stuff I'm excited about. I'm excited about the possibilities of cameos. I think.
What cameos do you think we might get?
I feel like it has to be some of the newer faces. Mm-hmm. I think it would be weird to throw in some of the older ones, unless they bring them in as like, There was at one point where one of the Skrulls was talking about like, what do we do if we have to fight the Avengers or something? Or like, what do we do if we have to face them? And Gravit was talking, and I fully expected him to take on the look and sound of Captain America. Just as like a quick, like, look what I can do, and change into him. And be like, we don't have anything to worry about. And it'd be like an moment. Like, they've already done it. Obviously didn't happen. But then it makes me think, like, again, how does the Skrull stuff work, right? Like, could he be flipping through a magazine and see somebody and change into them? Or do they have to have some sort of, like, physical connection with them to be able to take their face and powers, because that's why they're because like, that's why they're like, Avengers, because they can take their face and powers. But if they've watched the TV, they could see Captain America.
Yeah, I would think that they can probably change their appearance without taking the person, but in order to fully assume their identity and take their memories and all that sort of stuff, they probably have to be within proximity or have physical contact. That's what I've got in my head.
I mean, it makes sense. I am expecting a scene somewhere in this series to be someone's on the phone with somebody and we hear the voice, and then it cuts to the other side of the call and it's not the person whose voice we're hearing, but it's a Skrull making the voice. I keep expecting that shot to be in here somewhere, so that'll be I'll call that for some time in the next couple episodes. Yeah. Is there anything else from this episode that you wanted to talk about?
The remaining notes that I have are things like when the title came up in this episode and it said like 1997 London. I fully expected a Spice Girls song to kick in. Like, I was ready for it. And we might have known this before and I just didn't remember it, but it said that Fury is from Alabama.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, that tracks.
Yeah.
That he seems like he could be a nice Alabama boy. But yeah, other than that, we haven't really talked about how, Maria's mom showed up to transport her body. And that was really sad, but it was also, it felt somehow like weird or jarring because Nick clearly knows her really well. And essentially Maria is a co-worker of his, like a young protege. How often was her mom around?
Yeah, I thought that too. It was weird that like he knew her by name and they like had a moment. I also thought that it was strange that that scene felt rushed.
Oh, rushed.
It felt like it was supposed to be longer, but they had to like cut down time, so they kind of sped through it, and it just seemed like all this build up that there was going to be this tense moment, and then when the moment came, she was just like, "Don't let her death be for nothing," and then the scene ended, and I was like, "Oh, that was why did we bother seeing that? It didn't.
Yeah, really... could have just been the last line.
Yeah."
I mean, this was an exceptionally long episode. Mm-hmm. Like last week, I was like, oh, these are not going to be that long. This one's only 40 something minutes. And then this one clocked in at just very, very shy of an hour, like a full hour. So I'm curious about how the rest of the episodes will be for this series. Are they going to be more like the first one, or are they going to be more like this one and be long, 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 long?
I'm all for the long, long, as long as it's used correctly and we don't spend a bunch of time on nonsense that doesn't
make sense. They don't have the time to be doing nonsense. There are only six episodes.
Yeah.
Unless a couple of them are like 90-minute things, like on Stranger Things.
Which, very well. The last episode, I could see it being like a two-hour, just cram as much information as possible.
But at that point, why is that not just a movie?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm excited to continue. I'm excited to see what happens next week. I will say for this week, my question is going to be, who do you think is going to show up in this series? Not necessarily as a cameo, but as like the first recognizable character to be taken over by a Skrull. Mm-hmm. I know we've already seen Martin Short. I don't remember his name in the series. The guy from the first episode. Mm-hmm. But
his character name is also Martin Freeman.
Martin Freeman. Yeah, there you go. I'm not going to count him just because that was like the very first thing that we saw. But somebody else, a named character from the MCU who's going to show up and is going to be the first Skrull that was a MCU character. And do we think that they're going to show up in the MCU movies? Do we think anyone we've seen yet is already a Skrull? or has been a Skrull this whole time. Wouldn't that be crazy? They were like, oh, Iron Man's not dead. He was actually a Skrull the whole time. Surprise. I don't think that that makes sense, but, mm-mm, you know, it could happen. So that'll be my question this week. It's a thinker.
It's a good one.
But I have a couple ideas of who I think, who I would like, I guess. So,
are you going to share them?
I'll save them for next week. Okay. I'll share them on social before our next episode. But then I'll announce them at the beginning of the next episode, in hopes that maybe one of them is in the next episode. Yeah. So thank you guys for listening, and join us next week as we continue this mystery of figuring out who is who in Secret Invasion. Bye.